Hello and welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I'm Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode number 11, for you guys that are following along. How was your week, buddy?
Well, I have some big news for our listeners. Last weekend, I wanted to say something on the episode so bad, but I couldn't, in fear that my surprise would leak in some way, shape, or form. But I'm engaged. I went up to the mountains for a vacation. Yay! And proposed to my girlfriend, and it was awesome, dude. It was like the best weekend I've ever had in my life. Breckenridge in Colorado with the leaves changing is the most beautiful thing on planet Earth. So, yeah, man, it was awesome, great weekend. So, yeah, it was great.
Awesome, man. More importantly, though, who is going to be your best man in the wedding?
So it was a really hard decision, but this homeless guy I met outside of my...
This podcast is over.
No, of course, dude. So for our listeners, like we were up in Breckenridge. It was that day I had proposed to my girlfriend, Vivi. And I called Sean that night and I was like, dude, you're my best man. So, duh. I've told you you're going to be my best man whenever I get married for like a decade.
Mike is one of those special girls that's planned his wedding since he was like 12.
So. Yeah. With my vagina.
Vagina.
South Park style. Vagina. Yeah, no, you're going to be a great best man, dude. It's going to be an awesome wedding. So.
Well, thanks, man. I am so excited for you. I cannot wait. You definitely found the right girl.
And thanks, man.
It's going to be awesome, man. I'm super happy for you.
Thanks, man. Awesome. I'm really, really happy. And the podcast is going great. You know, saving money and life's good right now. So, yeah, I mean, can't complain. Got my best friend that we're just killing it in the podcasting world. We got like Kevin Smith calling us up and being like, hey, you want a podcast with us? And we're like, oh, we're too busy. Sorry, man.
Again, but seriously, if Kevin Smith is listening, please call us.
We read your book.
We'd love to hear from you. I read your book. Micah didn't read it.
You're the luck we need because it's mostly luck.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that some segment.
Yeah, man. I'm finishing up another book. So maybe next week I'll give a recap of Kevin Smith's book, Tough Shit. And I'm also reading Ready Player One. So as soon as I finish that up, maybe next week I'll give a recap of those and in our 2 cents section.
Dude, awesome. I'd love to hear that. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier this week, but I'll have to read it myself because we got it in our nerd block.
Yeah, the Kevin Smith one, Tough Shit.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
He's such awesome. A good book, man. He is definitely one of my heroes in life. So
I would agree with that. He's pretty
and an inspiration
awesome
for podcasting. So.
He's just an inspiration for anybody who wants to follow their dreams. But
yeah,
awesome guy. Awesome.
Totally, man.
Yeah, so you want to give us a recap of last week?
I do want to give us a recap of last week. Last week we talked about 4G LTE speeds, how we ranked really, really low in the world, which sucks. It hasn't changed, so if you're wondering, it's still an issue. We reviewed The Taken King. Both of us have played a ton of it, still loving it. I watched the season premiere of Gotham and reviewed it, for season 2 of Gotham. And DraftKings are adding esports to their website, which is really cool, and I'm curious to see how that goes. And we'll keep you guys informed on what we hear, and I think both me and Micah are probably going to try it out one of these times. I think it's like you could do it for $1.
Yeah, no, so, I'm definitely going to try it out for League of Legends. Yeah. That's the only esport I'm familiar with, to be blunt.
For sure. So we'll definitely we'll give that a shot and let you guys know what our review of that is. This week on our 2 cents, our review section of our podcast, Mike is actually going to review a video game for us. So why don't you go ahead and take that away?
Awesome. Yeah, we I actually bought FIFA 16 this last week, Sean. I bought it the day I got back, so I took some days off from work. So I've put it in quite a bit amount of time into this game. When I was home from work, I just vegged out and played FIFA for like 10 hours. It was awesome. So FIFA 16, yeah, let's just dive right in. all the FIFA games have been, I would say it's a similar franchise because it is EA, and similar to Madden because they just update the rosters every year and you're kind of like, there's not really a lot of change, but the game mechanics are still strong and it is fun. So every year, normally Madden and FIFA get really good scores because the game mechanics and the core of the game is essentially the same, just better graphics every year and a new roster. And FIFA didn't shy away from doing that again. It's kind of FIFA 15 with substantially better graphics. I just wanted to talk about that first. I'm a big Arsenal fan, big Gunner fan. All the players, it's incredible, Sean. Like, if they can do what FIFA did in Madden with, like, Peyton Manning and all the, like, the stars, like, this is the first time I've ever experienced, like, next-gen gaming with, like, athlete games. It's really incredible. Very elite and above what your expectation would be. Blew me away. So the graphics are, by itself, worth to drop the $50 for the new game. So if you're wondering whether you should drop the money on or not, graphics are just absolutely insane. Just a couple new features to gloss over. They did put in, for the first time in FIFA history, they put in a Women's World Cup roster. It isn't super detailed, obviously, like the men, because it's just the country teams. I did play one game with the Women's World Cup. You know, they have Alex Morgan and Hope Solo and all the girls who won the World Cup this year, which was awesome. And I think that's really important to kind of grow the sport and girls who do play video games. I think that's an important feature, and I'm really glad that FIFA included that, Sean. I think that's important. Something else, manager mode, I play a lot, is way better. Like, the whole mechanics of, like, managing your team, buying players, selling players, is just a much smoother mechanic. I feel like the loading screens are a lot shorter. The whole scouting process in manager mode, if you've ever played FIFA, is way more simplified, which was such an annoyance in the manager mode before, because it was a very micromanage-y, took 15 minutes to scout players in that mode, and it kind of got exhausting and made the game a little boring. So definitely the manager mode, which is the main mode that everyone plays, has substantially gotten better. My last point, gameplay. It definitely feels a little different. This was my only negative about the game, is it does feel like the gameplay is a little bit slower. It doesn't feel as fast. You can, in the settings, move gameplay from slow, normal, to fast. But I put it on fast, and it still felt a little slower than FIFA 15. I know that the makers of FIFA were talking about how they wanted to make it a little more realistic with sprint speed and whatnot, and you can definitely feel that. Doesn't ruin the game. It's just something I don't know if I'm a big fan of yet, Sean. When you get the, it's kind of like on defense, it's a little bit harder. You have to be, I would say, a fairly skilled player to jump into this game. It's not as user-friendly to jump in, but overall, it's a great game. I'd highly recommend it if you love FIFA. If you love soccer or football, it's incredible. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I think it's a strong game. And, if you're into FIFA, go buy it.
I had a question for you. So last year, I know you were playing it a lot, and I was thinking about buying it, and I read a lot of reviews that said Pro Evolution Soccer last year killed FIFA 15.
Yeah.
And then finally FIFA was making a comeback. Do you play Pro Evolution ever, or have you always been a FIFA guy?
Actually, it's funny you said that. I have played Pro Evolution at a buddy's house, just a little bit. I think it was 14. It was a couple years ago that I had played it. It was 14 or 15. Game mechanics are essentially the same. I think the graphics on FIFA crush it.
Okay.
I just, if you're going for, like, up-to-date rosters in the EA servers. I know something that Pro Evolution doesn't have is EA servers are connected to real-time teams in the Barclays Premier League or Serie A or La Liga in Spain. Like, all those leagues are connected to, like, real live transfers that are going on. So I'm pretty sure Pro Evolution doesn't offer that feature where it automatically updates. If you're, like, playing on a team, it changes the roster. So that's a really cool feature. But yeah, there's little niches. The FIFA franchise and EA, for me, I just felt like the game mechanics have always been good. And I'm not saying the game mechanics in FIFA now are totally shot to hell. I'm just saying they're different. But it's good, man. Like, if you're interested, I would strongly recommend FIFA, because as far as the menu screens go, it can get a little overwhelming, especially with players you don't know. If you don't know anything about soccer, it's fun, man. I would still recommend FIFA.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Pick it up. Check it out. So, all right, moving on into the news for this week. We're going to start off with a story about Mass Effect is going to have a 4D theme park attraction opening in 2016. Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you heard so far about this theme park that's supposed to be coming out?
Yeah, well, if you've listened to our top 10 episode where we kind of got to know me and Sean, Mass Effect was one of my top 5 video games of all time. I love Mass Effect. And this is awesome that they're making a theme park about it, Sean. The attraction will open at Great America in 2016. Great America is a theme park in California. I've never been, but I've looked at some pictures online and whatnot, and it looks awesome. So, yeah, California's Great America and Electronic Arts, EA, are teaming up to create a new Mass Effect attraction. And it's going to be, like, kind of in they say it's Great American's Action Theater that they have. So I'm kind of thinking in my mind like an Epcot thing. Is that what you're thinking of, Sean? Kind of like a sit in a theater and it kind of moves with 3D and all that.
Yeah, the other attractions I've been on that were like 4D, it's like the seats will shake, you're watching a 3D like video, like movie, and then there's like a water will spray in your face on the attraction or whatever, you know, like there's elements outside of just your what you're hearing and you're seeing. It's like either the theater's shaking or there's like water getting shot in your face or wind or something,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, and that would be so cool for Mass Effect. Like, what would your ultimate video game that you would want it to be made into a theme park ride, Sean?
Oh, man. I want a real Jurassic Park.
Dude, that'd be pretty dope. Dude, Destiny would be cool.
I don't know, man.
Yeah?
I don't know what kind of ride you can make out of Destiny.
Oh, I'm sure they could figure out something.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of games, man, I think could be pretty fun. I never actually got into Mass Effect. I kind of missed the boat on it. But it's cool to see that they're building a theme park to it. I know it's supposed to come out the same time the newest game comes out, which is Mass Effect Armada. Oh, sorry, Andromeda.
Andromeda. Cool.
Yeah. So it's supposed to coincide with that. You know, I know there's been talks about them doing a trilogy, like revamping their trilogy.
Yeah.
So like remastering it and putting it out HD, you know, something similar to what
Master Halo, Chief Collection. Yeah.
Yeah. Halo just did it. Uncharted for PlayStation is doing it, for their previous trilogy, for their new game coming out. I think that would be a great idea, cause I missed the boat on it and I never played it. So to have the opportunity to go back and play the older versions before the new one comes out, I think would be really cool. Would you be interested in playing the older ones? Did you love it that much?
Oh, I loved it. No, if they came out with like a trilogy, like the Master Chief Collection, I'd go back and play through all three games. Like,
do you like
I'd go
HD
through
version?
It with you, Sean. Yeah, I'd go through it with you, man. It's a blast. Like, the voice actors are awesome. Like, I don't know if you knew this, but Seth Green actually did a lot of the voicing for Mass Effect. He played a character who was like this pilot who was like crippled, but he was like the best pilot in the universe. He had a big part in it, and just I felt like the voice acting was really interactive and very immersive and just really well done. But yeah, man, if it came out with I've looked into that and they've had leaks, but I've never heard anything confirmed. So, and I'm sure that they would. It would make sense that something would come out. I mean, it's a beautiful game.
So. From what I heard, it what BioWare has said so far about Andromeda is that it would be a good. It's an okay game for somebody just to start off and play. So, from what they've said to this point, then it's not really. You're not going to be missing the story plot. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't have a lot of callback to the previous ones.
Right.
But I think it's a smart idea. I think you can make a ton of money off of it. I think it rebuilds interest into your game, gets people who played it before fired back up, and you can take a little more effort to tie them all together because more people have played the full series. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. No, I think that would be an awesome idea. I just, I'm really excited about it. I would love to be, actually go to this theme park ride. That would be awesome, dude. So,
yeah. All right on. Well, we'll definitely check that out. We got a little ways to go before that comes out. We'll keep you guys informed if we do hear anything about them releasing a trilogy or anything like that. Next up, we have Watchmen is looking to do a TV series. Being considered by HBO, Zack Snyder, the guy who directed and produced it, the original Watchmen movie, there's been rumors that he's been talking with HBO to start this series. What do you think, man, about that?
Dude, this got me so excited. Like, I love the Watchmen. I felt like that movie was so, Watchmen changed a lot of people's views of superheroes, I think. Just like I feel like The Walking Dead, the TV show, really changed the way people see like comic book stories coming to visual TV show or movie. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like people like, oh, another zombie movie, and then they watch The Walking Dead, they're like, holy shit, this is like nothing what I thought it would be like. I felt like Watchmen was like that for when it came out, the movie. It was very, very dark, but it had this human element to these superheroes where it kind of didn't feel like science fiction. Would you agree? It was very, I mean, you knew it was science fiction, but it was very gritty. Is that the right word?
No, yeah, absolutely. So if you guys don't know, or if you didn't see Watchmen, which hopefully you did, cause it was a great movie. It was directed by Zack Snyder. It's a story written by Alan Moore, and Alan Moore is, he's insanely good. He's probably one of the best writers, authors of our generation, of our time. And he wrote graphic novels, 300. He wrote V for Vendetta. He wrote Batman's The Killing Joke. You name it, and it's awesome in comic books. He probably wrote it. Phenomenal writer. Wrote the Watchmen series. Was a graphic novel. Zack Snyder. If you don't know who he is, he's like Warner Brothers' guy for superheroes. Anything and everything that's coming down the avalanche of DC movies that are coming our way from Warner Brothers is either directed or produced by Zack Snyder. So Man of Steel was.
And Batman vs. Superman.
Justice League, all of those movies. Aquaman, anything that's coming out is either directed or produced by him.
Yeah.
Because of Watchmen, because it did so well as far as being, I guess, Warner Brothers' first attempt of making a comic book movie, which was awesome. So,
yeah. Yeah, it was very successful.
Yeah, it's a big deal, man. I hope it works out and HBO does pick it up.
I was reading about this, and where I had read it on Polygon, they had mentioned a good point that HBO is rumor. Sometimes they have rumor. They more than Showtime or Stars or all those other movie networks or channels like HBO, a lot of rumors surround new series with HBO that never really happen, more so than any other thing. Like, I remember Halo, for instance, is a perfect example. I thought that was surrounding HBO, and then they're like, no, it's going to Stars, and no, it's going to Showtime, and I don't know.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Ever.
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't know the validity right now. It's just rumors, but it makes sense to me why it would be a reality is because Game of Thrones is coming to an end, and that's HBO's baby. So they're going to have to come up with another blockbuster TV show that's going to crush it. Do you know what I mean? And this could be it.
Yeah, the article I actually read, they had a footnote that was like an update to their article that they'd written. And it said HBO had confirmed our exclusive with the statement, preliminary discussions regarding Watchmen have occurred, but we have no additional information and no deals are in place. Our original story follows. And then they went into what they talked about. Sorry, I couldn't speak for a second. So it's been confirmed that they've actually talked about it, that it's, not necessarily, you know, I'm sure they can't specify if something's been in the works or give away their position in probably obtaining the rights to do it. But you know, I think it would be a great, great, great addition to HBO. Like Micah said, with Game of Thrones ending, I think 2017, on their seventh season is where they're going to wrap it up. It would be a good idea, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's a perfect fit for HBO. Like Micah said, it is kind of gritty, grimy. It's super well written. It's going to be expensive because it's superheroes and there's 500-foot blue men. So it's going to cost a lot to make it. It definitely has adult content in it and probably a lot of boobs. So
yeah,
it would fill Game of Thrones slot very well, I think. And again, like I said, if Alan Moore is writing a lot of it and then Zack Snyder's on the project, I couldn't imagine it not being a home run. So
yeah, no, I think you're totally 100% right. It just, I don't know, like Showtime, they had Dexter and that was like their big show. And I feel like they're still looking for that big hit show. And HBO is Game of Thrones. So now they're like trying to scramble and be like, okay, what can we do to replicate this success? And they look to, well, superheroes are really big right now. Let's maybe get Watchmen involved. And I think it's a great idea. I think it would work. I trust Zack Snyder. And let's keep our fingers crossed.
They've spent on Game of Thrones, like it just shows you that they're dedicated to producing good content no matter what.
So. Absolutely, and that's actually a great point. And they're like George R.R. Martin, his involvement in Game of Thrones was exponential, was crazy. So maybe Alan Moore would get really involved with this TV show. I know that they're really true to the original artist, and man, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So let's just keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Side note on all that, I was in reading and looking up all this stuff for this week. It was crazy that, so I know we're quickly approaching the moment when the show passes the books, because George R. R. Martin's writing them as fast as he can, but he's stated in a lot of interviews and stuff, he can only write them as fast as he can because he's taking his time and developing the stories the way he wants it to be. But yeah, it was something crazy. Like he announced there being the full series. There's two more books after whatever book he's on for the last one that's supposed to be coming out. And at the pace he's writing them, they said that he'd be done in like 2026 or something. So obviously the series is going to end before he finishes the books, but it was just like, that's gotta be a weird transition when you go from, okay, we have this book, let's make a show out of it, we have all this dialogue and content, to like, okay, what's your vision for this show? Because we got to keep making the show, we can't wait for you forever. And I think it's exciting, so yeah, man.
Yeah, and I wonder if Robert Kirkman and The Walking Dead, they're running into that. I think they took a different approach than HBO did. They said, we'll just make new content away from the comic book at this point. Didn't they do that? Didn't they hit a point with Robert Kirkman? Or I know they got to be hitting a point with Robert Kirkman soon where, you know, they're running out of comics.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole show's kind of been loosely based on the comic. I think there kind of been two renditions of it. And I think they probably did it for that purpose, that they didn't want to have to try to keep up exactly with where they were. Because a show Has limitations to when it can shoot and how fast it can shoot things, and sometimes it takes a lot more of a comic, or especially a book, to tell something you could tell in a couple shots in a movie or a TV show, opposed to where you, it would take you
right.
a couple chapters to explain in a book.
For sure, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I get it. Robert Kirkman, I think that was probably the biggest reason they went the direction they did. It's probably saved him a lot of headaches in the long run. So, and their story is a little different than Game of Thrones, where you're creating an entire, you know, universe, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say that fictional universe, really, it's much bigger yeah. than Walking Dead universe, absolutely.
Yeah.
The genealogy of all the kings and totally. This brother of this brother and this kingdom is next to this kingdom. Like, there's an actual physical map of this fictional world. Like, it yeah. is so detailed. And that's with awesome. I love that.
Culture and, yeah, lore.
Yeah. And, yo, dude, totally. Like, I actually only read the first two books, but they were audiobooks. So I guess I didn't read them. But yeah, the audiobooks were awesome, man. They were so good. Like, I couldn't get enough of them. I just couldn't fit the time to do it again, like listen to another one, because they're like 44 sure. hours long.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, no, that's awesome. Like, I really hope this Watchmen thing happens, man. I'd be on board episode one and just be a huge fan. It'd be really cool. What's that character I love from Rorschach? He's got the mask that kind of like is ink blots that kind of move. Yeah. And
Rorschach.
Yeah, he's just a great character, man. Like, yeah. It's awesome. I would love it. So,
for sure, man. Well, hopefully it comes to be. Again, we'll always keep you guys updated if we hear any more about that. Next up, we have Amazon banning the sale of Apple TV and Chromecast and the Nexus player on yeah. Amazon.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah,
dude. The largest online retailer just saying, nope, we're not going to sell your stuff. We want people to buy our stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I heard this, Sean. I actually thought it was just a rumor. But it is confirmed. Amazon will prohibit sales from Apple TV and Google Chromecast, both competitors to its Fire TV hardware, on October 29th. According to an email sent to its vendors, Bloomberg Business reports. So it doesn't get any more official than that. It's happening. And, yeah, I mean, for me, Sean, my first initial reaction, I don't know about you, but I felt like it was very childish. I was like, what? Like, you think that that's the only place people can buy Apple TV and Chromecast? Like, there is Best Buy. You know that, right? And that's your competitor. And you can order things from Best Buy online. You know that, right? Amazon? Like, it made no sense to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I actually read a quote from Amazon that said, over the last 3 years, Prime Video has become an important part of Prime. It's important that the streaming media players we sell interact well with Prime Video in order to avoid customer confusion. Roku, Xbox, PlayStation, and Fire TV are excellent choices. So,
customer confusion, like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think this is the biggest problem, I think, with cutting the cable. We talked about this a few episodes back, getting rid of cable and moving everything over to digital streaming. Mike and myself both bought commercial-free Hulu accounts. We both have Netflix. But when we get into this, it's getting to a gray area, finally, where companies are trying to one-up each other. Instead of just opening the platform, which, to Apple and Google's credit, they both have open source app development for both of their... Apple's new one that's coming out so soon, and I think Google's has had it for a while. So if Amazon wanted to, they could tomorrow start developing an Amazon Prime app, and there's nothing really either Apple or Google could do to stop them. Because they made it open sourced for apps. So it's silly that Amazon is like shutting down, you know, Apple and Google and Nexus
yeah.
or whatever. But
yeah, and Sean, I don't know if you...
I don't know, man.
You, me and Sean both read comics, obviously, on our tablets. We've talked about that many times before in the podcast.
Yeah.
With our Kindle app, It's like you can't buy directly from your, like on your iPad, an Apple product. You can't buy a comic book from the Kindle app. You have to go to Amazon, buy it through the Amazon, and then it's like loaded on your Kindle app. And I felt like that was super silly. And there's all these, I feel like that's just, this is another extension of Amazon just being hard because they don't want to give Apple a cut of their money, and they're trying to hurt Apple and Google. And honestly, it comes off very childish, and it comes off as like a company that I don't want to really invest in or be a part of. Like, it just seems like, I don't know. It just doesn't, it looks bad to me. I mean, what do you think?
No, I totally agree, man. I feel like anytime a company makes a stance where they put their best interest in front of their customer's best interest, I think that's always a negative, in my opinion.
Totally. Some
interesting stats that I saw, too, were Google's Chromecast was sixth bestseller on Amazon US, and then Apple's TV was 14th bestseller. Out of the entire product line that Amazon sells, pretty much you could buy anything on Amazon, from diapers to trucks.
To orange juice. Yeah.
Anything, yeah. And so the sixth most bought product on Amazon's US store was a Google Chromecast, and then 14th was Apple TV. And so to even just like out of spite or whatever reason they're doing it, like to drop the amount of revenue that they're going to lose off of that, not to mention Apple's new TV that's coming out, is just going to ramp that up from 14th, I'm sure, up higher if they would have kept it, because it's, you know, it's slated to be a pretty big product and a lot of people are pretty excited about it. So I don't know, man, for whatever reason they're doing it, I think it's just going to hurt them in the long run.
I agree.
No doubt Amazon's not going anywhere anytime soon. They are the biggest retailer in the entire world, but yeah, it's still childish.
Yeah, it hurts their image, and for sure it is a disservice to the customer. I mean, if I'm on Amazon, like, do they really think, oh, they don't have Apple TV or Chromecast, they're not selling that? Oh, well, I guess I'll just go with the Amazon thing. No, they're not. People are like, okay, there's literally 100 websites I could buy it somewhere else. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me that they think if we cut this out, people will just buy whatever we tell them to. There's a smart consumer out there that knows better. So if they want Chromecast and they've done their research and they know the specific things that they like about Chromecast more than Apple TV or Amazon's products, they're going to buy Chromecast no matter what. You know what I mean? I feel like the consumer is a lot smarter than that. But yeah, this looks bad on Amazon. I'm just really disappointed because I love Amazon. I use it for a lot of stuff, but it makes me like want to boycott them. I don't know why. Just
for sure.
Upsets me.
Yeah, man. I ordered something from Amazon right before we started the show. So I use them all the time. I'm actually a Prime member. Not necessarily for the video content, but because I like my shipping is way cheaper because I have free 2-day shipping. But yeah, man, like that's pretty ridiculous. I know, especially to take on Apple and Google, like,
give me a break. You know, give me a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty, some big shoes to try to fill. So unfortunately, hopefully they get it squared away and figured out, because I think all of us are in agreement that we want to keep moving towards this digital life, that we could cut the cord for cable bills. And the more options we have, the better we are across all of our platforms. You know, it's nice to have apps on my TV, my phone, my computers, to be able to select a show that I want to watch no matter where I am. So, yeah, hopefully they get it figured out.
Yeah, maybe it's just a really aggressive move that they're doing because they realize that it's coming to a point. And maybe it's an act of desperation, or, I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like a good business move. Like you said, you're cutting off two of your top 10 products that are sold on your website. I mean, you're going to lose some money. You're not going to go bankrupt over it, but I don't know. I was very shocked to read that article.
No doubt. All right. Well, Mike, do you want to talk about this next story? You found this one and it was really interesting. So
yeah, it's really awesome. We actually did an episode called The Diskless Future. We've had I would say like three or four debates just about like So the future of consoles and where we're going digitally forward with technology, as far as downloading games from marketplaces like Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network, you know, Nintendo patent their new console with a diskless drive, so there's no discs. We've talked about this several times. Well, the GameStop CEO, Paul Raines, he was being interviewed, and somebody asked him a question about, you know, it always comes up about GameStop and their future because everyone's fairly certain that it will be a discless future. Eventually everyone will download things and discs will go away. But he says disc-based games will be around forever. And that kind of sounds just like a stubborn guy who just owns a company and doesn't want it to die. It's like the guy from Blockbuster, like, Netflix is stupid. We're out of business. You know what I mean? Like,
that'll never catch on.
Exactly. And actually, I heard that Netflix approached Blockbuster, but that's a whole new thing that we could talk about later. But yeah, it just seems really silly. So I was reading this article, and actually some of the statistics that he was giving were pretty staggering. So here's just a little snippet. One second. Analysis Projects Digital Review Worldwide accounting for about 1/8 of an $82 billion market. Paul Raines feels that the steep decline seen in sales of physical format music, movies, will not be repeated in video games. I don't know if it's true. For me, Sean, I feel like, I know that you said within 10 years. Is that what, you remember back to that episode? You said within 10 years it'll be discless.
Yeah, I think within 10 years.
And I agree that it will eventually be discless, but I feel like it'll take longer than 10 years for this reason. Because Microsoft and Sony, they listen to the gamers. Sony and Microsoft tried to push pretty hard, and they still do for digital sales to this day. But it's not something that's going as quickly as I think they would like. For the reason of equity in your game that you can trade it in for money. It doesn't make sense to download a game that you're just going to never get. You know, you play it once and then it's useless. You just wasted $60. And I wonder how many people subscribe to Gamefly, Sean. I wonder how many people use that service, because I bet you it's a lot. And I don't know. I think we're vastly underestimating.
I bet you there's more users of Steam than there are of Gamefly.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you're right there. But I think that there's a difference in PC gaming and console gaming.
No, they're the same games. I mean, the top games on Steam are like Call of Duty, Halo.
Right, but you can play it on your PC. You can't buy Steam games for your Xbox.
Yeah, but that's just right now. I think that the biggest argument against this guy's entire argument is that he's quoting that right now it's 1/8 of the entire gaming market is made up by digital downloads. But it's like literally we're at the very beginning of it. We're in the baby steps of it. And so like already, if you think like maybe in the last 2 to 3 years... digital downloads have really started to pick up. So in that time, it's already gained 1/8 of the market share. Like, just think in 10 years and how fast technology evolves. You know, and you got to think right now, we have two consoles that are the main consoles out right now who are basically supported on disk drives. So once those are gone, or they decide to get rid of those, it's a whole new game. Like,
right, right.
I think it's the same thing like you said, like with Best Buy or with Blockbuster. Blockbuster said, oh, well, you know, everybody's got a DVD player. Nobody, internet connections are too slow and blah, blah, blah. Netflix renting movies. And it was Netflix started in the market of having their little kiosks or sending you a DVD in the mail. And then as soon as that, we got to a point in technology where you could stream a movie really quickly and they could offer it to you at an affordable price. It was like, bam, you know, the next day it seemed like blockbusters were gone. You know, it's like here one day, gone the next.
So. For sure. But I think it's going to be a lot longer than 10 years. I think it's in the realm of like 15 to 20 years because...
No way. Like 20 years, we got chips in our head.
For me, for that reason, this is a great point. So GameStop has taken steps to protect itself and its interests in the push-pull of physical versus digital sales. Last month, it refused to carry Xbox One console bundle that contained a digital download for Madden NFL 2016. So they refused to carry that. Microsoft turned around and said, okay, we'll change the bundle because GameStop insisted on it. And it was given a console bundle with a price that included a free copy of the physical copy of the game. So if Microsoft is making deals with GameStop, they must have some power or leeway, Sean, because Best Buy was probably giving away that Xbox One bundle with a digital download for Madden, you know. And if they're accommodating GameStop, there must be more money and GameStop than Best Buy. So
right now that is the case. But that doesn't mean next year or, you know, next console that comes out and PlayStation and Microsoft get together and they just say, nope, no more drives. Then there's nothing. There's no, you know, I mean what I mean? Like there's no,
yeah.
There's no fighting.
I know the thing is between Sony and Microsoft. So the only way in my mind that I see digital coming way faster than 10 years or at 10 years, excuse me, is they're both competing in the console wars to sell the most consoles, right? So if one of them takes that step without the other, let's say Sony says, okay, we're going discless, and Microsoft says, hey, we're not, and our, you know, the console after Xbox One is cheaper than PlayStation. PlayStation, I guarantee, will be like, oh no, we have to put a disc drive in it. No one's going to buy our product. They have to make that step together. Would you agree? Sure, and that's something that I think one of the other are not going to budge on. So they know if their next console is discless and, you know, Microsoft is not discless and Sony's is, consumers aren't going to like that. I mean, a lot of people switched from PlayStation to from Xbox to PlayStation this console war, and they'll flip-flop back again. And like you said, the consumer is very fickle, man, and people are fickle, and they will switch to whatever best suits their wallet. And if I can have a physical copy of the game and I can trade it in for a brand new game that makes it half the price, that's the smarter deal, and people are going to choose that. I mean, that's my only thing. They have to make that jump together, and I don't see Sony and Microsoft holding hands and being like, hey, let's both do a discless drive for our next console after Xbox One and PlayStation 4. I just don't see that happening.
Sure, man. Well, when was the last time you bought a music CD?
Music's different than games. It's a total... It's apples and oranges, man. It's totally media. Different. No, no.
No, it's total media. How is it different?
People who are downloading Ziggy Azalea are not playing Destiny. That's how it's different.
That doesn't make... That, no, there's plenty of people who game and listen to Iggy Azalea. Or whoever.
I just think it's different, man. I think because you can't trade. It's different because one, CDs are $12
right now. Right now, you're sounding like Blockbuster, buddy. I'm telling you right now, you sound like Blockbuster.
CDs are $12.
No way.
Xbox games are $60. There's your first difference. Second difference is you can't trade in a CD for half of its value to buy another CD.
That's not true.
That is true.
Long time you could go. Dude, there was a ton of stores that would buy back your CDs and you could go trade them in for different
CDs. I wouldn't
CDs.
Say a ton. There were a handful, and you would have to drive in your car and go bring your CDs, and they'd have to make sure they weren't... It's different for something that's $12 as opposed to something experience. $60.
Yeah, but I bought way more music than I've ever bought video games.
I would agree with that as well, but I'm saying video games are a bigger purchase and they're more money. And the people trade in more video games...
less.
Okay, would you agree with me on this? people trade in more video games than they do CDs. Would you agree?
Because CDs are irrelevant now.
Yeah,
but I think
they are.
I think at a time people did. I think people traded in more CDs than they did video games. Because CDs have always been more sold more than gaming. I mean, there's more people listening to music than there are people playing Destiny.
I don't know, man. Video games make a lot of money. I don't have the numbers in front of me of how much the gaming market is, but I know it's in the billions as well.
You're telling me there's more people playing video games than listening to music?
No. No, but I'm not. Okay, but I think you're selling video games a little short. It's a multi-billion-dollar
industry. And that's why I think it's next, man.
I mean, you have Microsoft, one of the most renowned industry companies in the world, who's totally backed the gaming console world. And Sony, another giant. I mean, it is a multi-billion-dollar industry, but yeah, I just feel like it's different. And I feel, I don't know, man. I think it's, unless Microsoft and Sony both do diskless drives for their next consoles together, or they offer a system like Steam does, I don't see discs going away anytime soon. I just don't, because I guarantee it. If Sony came out and said, we're having a diskless drive, they would lose so many people to the next Xbox console with discs. I just know it. I know it.
I don't think so, man. I would go the other way. If Sony came out and said, hey, listen, we have a service now. It's like Spotify. You could go on. It's like Steam.
They would never do it. No, they would never. The subscription would be like $100 a month if it was for video games.
I think you're so wrong. I would do it in a second. And I think that's how it's going to end up going. I don't know if Blockbuster paid you money this week or GameStop. Do you have stock in GameStop? What's going on, buddy?
I.
You sound like.
I'm not a communist like you. I want freedom with my discs to trade
in. To waste
in.
Money.
No, dude. I want. Yeah. It's saving me money. It's saving me money to buy. You disagree that if I buy a $60 disc, you don't buy physical copies, you download everything?
No,
I know
I
you don't.
I buy physical
perfect.
Copies. Because
why?
Not
why
as,
do you?
Because right now the market makes more sense to buy them, but that doesn't mean tomorrow it could change. The same reason I bought a CD forever until Spotify came along and it made it irrelevant to buy a CD.
Right. I'm saying until that, whatever comes around, whatever service, if whether it's a Steam model for video games or, you know, they every console makes the plunge together, this market I would like to stay around and stick around, so I'll buy physical copies. I won't, you know, I'll avoid digital downloading as much as possible.
I think you don't see, like, man, like in the last 10 years, CDs are gone, DVDs are gone. Blu-rays
I
are going
see
away.
That. I see that, but it's they're having
that's
more
in
control
10 years.
Over
that's
the
less
consumer.
Than 10 years, buddy.
They're having more control over that's the consumer, and I don't like that.
No.
Because dude, they're saying,
it's
yeah, they can
so
slap
much better.
Whatever.
Spotify is a million times better than it was having a giant portfolio of CDs or having all my DVDs stored on the cloud opposed to having bookshelves full of DVDs.
Right, I it's see what ridiculous. You're saying, but you're making up something that a Spotify for video games, like, I don't ever see that happening. But if that did happen,
it's
I agree with
Steam,
you 100%.
Dude. It already
Bro,
exists.
It's not for consoles.
I know, but
it's totally different.
You're talking about, like, a sliver difference. Like, we're at, like, a like two more changes in technology, and it's there.
I don't know about that, but the reason why it is huge, Steam, that you're talking about Steam, I'm a console gamer. I don't play PC games. The only PC games I play are free to play, like League of Legends or Dota or whatever, Heroes of New Earth. I'm not going to go on Steam and buy $20 worth of PC games because I'm just not a PC gamer, so that's irrelevant to me. Unless there's something in the console world, then I don't know. I mean, that is a good statistic. 1/8 of 82 billion right now. I thought it would be way more than that. I thought it'd be at least half of 82 billion is digital sales. I mean, that was pretty staggering statistic. And I don't know, like, even, I don't know. It just, I think it, unless something happens, man, GameStop's going to be around for a while.
I bet you within 10 years, buddy, it's gone. Unless they change their market. Or they start a streaming service.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I
feel like everything that he said in his article is him being Mr. New Blockbuster. Like, my business isn't going anywhere, and it'll be gone before you know it.
Yeah.
Be it for the better or the worst, it's just the way things are, man. It's just going to happen. There's no doubt in my mind that's the way everything's going.
Right. No, I agree. We're in agreement that it will eventually happen. It's just the timeline of when it'll happen that I think we disagree on. And
for sure.
I don't know. I hope if it is all digital, I just hope it's fair to the consumer. And there is some service like Steam that is fair for gamers on console. But
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
I think we both could agree on that.
I think it's very interesting, though. I mean, look at this. We're ready to freaking go to blows. This is awesome. Like,
yeah.
This is a really interesting.
I'm not your best man anymore. Just kidding.
Fuck your couch, bro. Fuck your couch. Yeah. No, I think it's a very interesting topic, especially for gamers, because this may sound really stupid, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of scary as a gamer because you're like, oh, shit, if we go digital, what am I going to do with these games? I'm going to have to be really particular on what games I buy. I can't just go buy FIFA 16 like I did this week and be like, oh, I can trade it in if I want to like 4 or 5 months from now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just makes me feel like I'm going to be spending way more on video games if it does go digital. But who knows?
But if it there makes was you a sound like you're the guy who's like, I don't want to trade my horse and buggy in for a car.
I get it. I get it.
And then I got to fix
it.
The car, my horse. I already got a stable already, change. And we're supposed to turn that into a garage. I don't understand how this is going to work.
Right. No, I understand I'm sounding like an old man get off my lawn moment. But at the same time, I know you know what I'm talking about. And it's interesting. I don't know where it's going to go.
But the fact of the matter is, I think you're paranoid about something you can't be paranoid about, because if Xbox or PlayStation decided they, you know, like, you think like they're just going to screw you because it switches. If they wanted to screw you, they could now. It's not like they can't do that. They can't, at any second, they could say, well, our games are $600 a piece. Good luck.
So I think a lot of people would, they'd lose.
They'd be upset, but what would you do?
Like, well, I play wouldn't game anymore.
There you go.
I guess I'd be playing with a hula hoop rolling it down a hill with a stick. I don't know.
That's the thing, man. Like, they're not idiots. They're going to make it in a way that is going to produce the most profit for them. They're not going to overinflate things that nobody's buying.
Forgive me if I don't trust you. We just talked about Amazon being run by a 12-year-old boy. Meh, I'm not selling Amazon and Chromecast. Meh.
But that it doesn't change the fact that they are still the number one retailer in the entire world. So
yeah,
whatever like hiccups people may have, and you know, PlayStation and Xbox have had plenty of that. I just spent $40 on an upgrade for a game that I already spent $60 on.
How many times did we buy Battlefield 3?
Oh, dude, so many times, and it happens like, all the time, man. It's not anything new. There's always DLCs. Every game has a DLC now. Without a doubt. You just know for a fact, I'm going to spend $60, and then I'm going to spend at least $20, and then I'm going to probably spend at least another $20, and then at least another $20.
No, yeah. No, it's...
And then a new game's going to come out, and all that's worthless. And so all that DLC stuff I bought, I don't get refunded for that. I only get it for the initial purchase of the game anyways.
For sure. There's pros and cons. Like, that's what's so frustrating. It's like pros and cons for so many different things. It's just hard to figure out what's going to happen and what's would be best. And there's a million different ways you could go with it. The gaming industry is changing so much. I think a lot of gaming communities and gaming franchises and gaming companies in general are going to look to Destiny and be like, wow, they're on a freaking money train. How do we need to replicate this game of a base game and then just DLCs on top of it? You know, like, I think that model of gaming is going to be more. I think we're going to see a lot more games like that. I mean, would you agree?
More
like Destiny, DLC. Where it comes out with you bought one disc, and then there's going to be like DLCs for like 2 years of content. So, you know, I mean, you can, you know what I mean? Do you see the?
Sure, man. And so that's another like point of where I think why it's switching faster than you think, because you've already spent
Over $100.
Yeah, outside of your game that you'll never get back. You could still trade in the disc and get like half off that back, maybe.
Like
half.
$15, yeah.
Yeah, but you'll never see any of that other 100 back.
No.
Off your 40 plus your other 20 and your 20 for the other expansions and stuff. So
right.
I think they're slowly moving you into it before you even realize that you're going that way. And on a side note, just so you guys know, me and Mike have been best friends for a long time, and we're not really mad at each other. And we've had conversations about like politics and life, and like the most heated thing we've ever had a conversation about was probably this game, stupid game thing. So that should let you guys know how big of nerds we are.
Yeah.
Actually,
I forgot to even step out of this podcast and tell the listeners. No, me and Sean. We both have very different views politically, and we're best friends and will be for the rest of our lives. And we love discussing things, even if we never agree on them. And that's what makes best friends, right? Like, that's what makes fun and discussion awesome. Forums, great. No, we're not fighting. That's so funny.
You guys want to weigh in on it, definitely let us know. Let us know on Twitter and everything, because we want to hear. We'll get back to that a little bit later. But we want to end it on a happier note, not so much of an argumentative note. Well, maybe this might turn into an argument, too. I don't know. We had one question we wanted to end the show with. What would you rather do, be Batman for a decade or Superman for a year?
This is easy for me. Batman for a decade.
Okay.
At first, I read it, and I was like, huh. Miserable for a decade, but be a badass and know that I was Batman, or be the most powerful being on the universe. I'd be Batman. What about you?
I said neither, because it would be too much pressure and I'd fuck it up. So
that's not an option. I'm pretty sure that there's two options.
Don't bitch out.
No, you have to pick one. It's okay if you pick Superman.
Neither. I would less like want to be Superman, because then there'd be way more pressure. Because I feel like both of them have this unrelenting. I mean, they have to do what they do to save the world constantly, and I don't think I could do it. I would just be like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm busy.
I know what you mean.
I would misuse my powers for bad. Probably. I don't know, man. I wouldn't want either. Both sound like too much pressure for me.
It would be brutal, but you got to think that there's something inside of each one of these heroes that keep them doing what they're doing.
They both just seem miserable, man.
They both
always like, their loved ones die constantly. They're like, always like,
but they
hated by everybody.
If they don't do it, no one will. And there's a satisfaction of knowing that they're saving everybody. And that's got to feel good.
I'm good.
If you're a listener, tell Sean how big of a bitch he is that he couldn't make a decision about two fictional superheroes. I want to be Aquaman. I want to ride a seahorse, like a horsey.
It's just relaxing. Fish don't get angry at you.
Yeah.
Man. That's where it's at, man.
This episode has officially spiraled out of control. But that's okay.
I would obviously be Batman.
Duh. Thank you.
But jeez. I would not want to be either. Just so I'd make that clear.
It'd be pretty cool to be. Dude, you're not telling me you wouldn't like to just kick ass.
No,
like,
dude. He gets
20 beat. Like mobsters.
Have you ever read anything about Batman getting old? He's like crippled for life because he has to take drugs. It's awful, man.
It doesn't sound too bad.
Turns out well for him. He's like, he's alone. He hates life. Everyone hates him. His son tries to kill him. It's a terrible life, dude. No one would want that. But God bless him for being who he is. So.
Thanks, Batman.
Thanks, Batman. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of another episode. Again, if you guys want to comment in on any of the stuff we talked about today, if you have a weigh in on if we're going to hit discless future in the next 10 years, or if you think you should be Batman or Superman, or which one you'd like to be, reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach the show at 5280nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter, or you can reach Micah at.
I was like, sing it. Vash 0077.
Yeah. I'll never ever say his name because I can never say it with a straight face. And definitely check out our website. We have some changes going on there at 5280nerd.com. You can always find show notes and what we talked about in previous weeks, and more information about us. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks so much, guys. See you next time.